So, Paul, now we can have a secret conversation that James will hear only when he edits later.
Ooh.
What message do you want to leave for James in the future?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm getting a call from a friend. Sorry.
Wow. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Secret Chocobo Club. I'm Paul, also known as Nono and Kukuen, who is a male Hure and currently mating as a samurai.
And I'm James. My character's name is Yubi Allright. I play as a Lalafell sage.
Going with sage, huh?
Yeah.
And I'm John. I currently play as a male Viera, also sage, but currently dabbling in pictomancy as well.
Okay, yeah, so this is episode 2, and last time on episode 1, we went over Ulda. I had a therapy session, and we're just going to keep chucking along. Hopefully we can get through everything, but this episode, we're going to try to cover both Limsa Luminsa and Gridania. Again, just the first 15 levels, because as a reminder, once you get to MSQ level 15, all three routes kind of sync up again. And then, you know, we won't have to do this whole split situation, but
all roads converge.
Yeah, all roads converge.
Not gonna lie, I honestly wish that becomes a regular segment of ours. We can call it Paul's Paper Cuts.
Don't worry, I have a lot of paper cuts. I always have paper cuts. I always have opinions and gripes about small things that don't matter.
Well, let's start with Limsa. This is where our free company, our guild house is.
For now, until we buy a medium house.
Someday.
Okay,
for what is, since you brought that up, does it really matter what size a house you get? Like, it doesn't...
I mean, it depends how you define matter, right? Does it affect your gameplay experience in terms of numbers and stuff? No, just takes gil. But does it affect your sense of pride and accomplishment? Yes.
And if you're into the housing design part of the game too.
Oh, for sure.
Like the amount of land you have to place down items. And I think even the number of items too, right?
Yep. Dude, but, we hit that limit so quickly.
But our house doesn't even look nice. Why would we want to get a
picture? It looks so nice. How dare you?
I think it looks like a hodgepodge of furniture that we all happen to have leftovers
of. It is very Lalafell friendly, though.
So I like it. Unfortunately.
Especially that upper deck we have. That upper floor.
I know. If you're anything bigger than a Midlander here, then good luck getting up there.
Okay.
Anyways, we're here to talk about
Back to Limsa.
Limsa.
Instead of our house. You know, Limsa was actually the first city I ever started in. Actually, no. I take that back. It wasn't the first city I ever started in. That was Gridania. But it was the first city that my main character started in. And that ended up being... Because I don't know if you guys know, but I made two or three different free
characters. I think you went over there in your intro.
Yeah. But then, they're lost somewhere in the ether. But yeah, the character I have now that I did MSQ on started in Limsa.
Oh, what
class
start
did you start with?
I think it was Arcanist, but then quickly jumped to Rogue to do Ninja.
Mm.
And then played that for a long time.
Oh, I didn't realize that you started off as a Rogue main.
He was a DPS main, right?
That's true.
All the way to the end of Endwalker?
Pretty much, yeah. And that's why when I heard you guys complaining, my queue is longer than 5 minutes, I was like, oh my gosh, get over yourselves.
If you're waiting in queue, you're not playing the game. If you're not playing the game, it's because the game is unplayable.
You're doing other stuff while you're waiting, You're killing stuff in the overworld.
No,
or you're
I'm waiting for
jumping around the aetherite crystal. You know, there's plenty of things to do while you're waiting.
That's not playing the game, John. That's not playing the game.
It is playing. But that's probably why whenever your queue pops and you press, commence, and you're just waiting on that one last person to press it, it's always the DPS. I guarantee you, because we've been waiting around for that queue and we're doing something else. We're gathering or we're questing, and then suddenly the queue pops and we're rushing to try and finish it. So, just keep that in mind.
if I'm waiting on the last person, like 70% of the time, I'm waiting on the healer, funnily enough.
Are you able to see it, though? I don't think you're able to see, right?
Yeah, you can, because the little window will show up, and then you see, like, you know, one for tank, one for healer, and two for DPS. Almost always, 70% of the time, ish, I see 0 out of 1 for the healer.
But that's actually... No sense, because...
I mean, anecdotal, right?
Because the healer's the one who gets to, like, they queue an immediate pop, you know? So they should be clicking commence right away. I don't understand that.
But I've had to wait in queue as a healer, too. I've had many non-insta pops as
healer.
So
tank is the most insta pop.
It's definitely not DPS though.
Oh no. Wait, but John, you mentioning that you started like your other characters too, it made me wonder in 1.0, because you played during 1.0, right?
No, I didn't.
No.
Oh, you were just doing free trial and it was only ARR.
Yeah. So I downloaded the free trial multiple times.
Got it.
Because it kind of changed over the years. It used to be you only had like 4 hours or 8 hours in game. And then it was like free up to level 30. And then it was like free up to...
They just keep raising that bar.
They just kept adding to it now. If Shadowbringers ever joins the free trial...
I don't think so. I don't think Shadowbringers will ever...
Well, I mean, they already did Stormblood, which is pretty crazy. That's so much content.
I think like, it's just a matter of when.
Because it's Stormblood.
No. You can't do Stormblood dirty like that.
We're back to Stormblood punching bag.
Anywho, I was going to ask, do you know then if the starting cities are all the same during 1.0 as well?
Yes. Yes, they were all the same. And the funny thing is, because 1.0 was a... seamless, you know, world with no loading zones, they all had some kind of mechanism to mask loading times. So there would be these really long like tunnels going in and out of the city that you'd have to walk through so that the game would have time to load the city or the outside zone.
Oh, that's clever.
Which is
that's
where
clever.
You can still kind of see them in the game 2.0, but they're just, you know, you walk towards them and then it takes you to a loading screen and into the zone. So like the long bridge going into Limsa, the gates in front of Ulda, you know, and I'm actually not sure what it was for Gudania, but maybe just a bunch of trees.
Have you guys ever flown up to one of the birds?
What?
In...
Wait, in what?
14?
Because, you know, in certain zones or maps, in the ones you can fly in, like, if there's, like, a bird flying in the sky, you can fly up to it.
Birds flying in the sky?
Mm-hmm. It's like seagulls or an eagle or something like that.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah,
I've never seen a bird. But if you fly next to one,
it's the most like origami cardboard looking bird. It doesn't even flap. It's just, you know, T-posing and gliding through the air.
I mean, those Endwalker grapes. I don't know if you guys remember those, but those were a meme for a reason.
Endwalker grapes? Grapes?
Endwalker grapes? Oh my gosh. Okay, quick story time. I know we're getting way off topic, but we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
So when Endwalker launched back in... When was that? 2021? 2020? Oh my gosh. Time
COVID, right?
I can't keep track of time. But when it launched, there was a scene in one of the zones where there's like a little like farm area. And it like would kind of pan across and show a bunch of like the produce. But it zoomed in really close on these grapes. And they were like, you could count the number of faces of on the polygon. Of these grapes, they were so they looked like something out of like NES, Super Nintendo, or something. Okay, maybe not that bad. At best, N64. And so people were just memeing on these so much, and they ended up updating them in an update like shortly afterwards, maybe like a few weeks after launch, I want to say. And then people were all like making memes, you know, mourning the loss of these grapes. It became a whole thing. They actually gave out at FanFest later, like a plush of
the little, grapes. Like, the low poly grapes.
The low poly grapes. Wow. Hilarious.
Back to Limsa.
Yeah. I just remember, you know, because I started as a bard or archer in Gridania, that y'all were saying, like, oh, wait till you get to Limsa. Like, Limsa's great. It's the best city of the three. It's where our guild house is and all that, yada, yada, yada. And I get there and I just, like, my eyes were, like, burned out because it's so white.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
It's my very, eyeballs like,
explode it, near the.
It's bleached, yeah. Bleached stone.
Yeah, it's bleached stone. Yeah, just pure white stone. My eyeballs explode whenever I teleport to the Limsa Limsa Aetherite crystal, because I think like half of the time there's just so much color explosion that just like renders right there.
Well, just it doesn't help. There's usually a crowd of people just doing the most random things for better and for worse.
It's both great and terrifying and disturbing, mm-hmm. sort of all at the same time.
It's the place that must not be named. I will say though, I am grateful for like the Aetherite placement. I think it's pretty well done around the city, you know, from the main plaza. Like anytime I go to Limsa and I need to get to like, I don't know, the inn and the
drowning wench
or up to like one of the other guilds, I'm usually able to get there pretty quickly. Whereas, and we'll get to this later, like Gridania, I have a lot more complaints there where I don't think the layout's as well done and I have to do way more walking. So as a, like on a functional level, I definitely think Limsa is the best where, and there's, that's, I think that's why so many people, you know, that's home for them because the market board is right there. So I think functionally it just works. Design wise, I have a bit more gripes, but I do think it's just the most practical and.
What? No, like, it's not. Yeah. No, I disagree. Limsa is not. Okay.
I also think Limsa is the easiest to navigate now that I've gotten used to. Here's why, though.
Right.
Because the lower decks, it's just left and right. And also, when you get to Limsa, everything is there. Like, the market board is right there. The livery Moogle is also right there. The itinerant Moogle is also right there. The level 50 Poetics vendor is also right there. And then the inn, getting to the inn is still pretty far because getting to the Aetherite to the Aft Castle, and then you have to walk all the way around to the Drowning Wench.
Just walk a bit.
You know, by the way, I think Gridania is the fastest to get to an inn because you just land right there at Aetherite. It's that little shortcut in between.
It doesn't feel that way. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, the little jump window. Oh my gosh. But then when you get stalled on the pillar.
You're going back, you can't go through that way.
It's the worst feeling.
But yeah. And then when you get to the upper decks of Limsa Limsa, it's just up and down. And then at that point, like, you just have to know, like, where everything is in terms of the Aetherite system. But the first time you do navigate, looking for all of those Aetherite crystals is a nightmare.
True. The learning curve is steep.
Because the thing that's
once you get past that,
I think Limsa Limsa has the second worst or second best because it's only three. I think it's right there in the middle for how well the Ethernet shards or the Ethernet like network shards are located, because I think it's kind of crazy how the Aft Castle like crystal leads you to like four different places, but it's not optimal for any of them. Like
the culinary and the blacksmith's guild.
Yeah, and the armor, the Marauder's as well guild. As Drowning Wench, as well as the Maelstrom.
Wait, the Marauder's Guild, it has a...
Yeah,
its own.
That's...
Marauder's Guild has a...
Oh, does it? Yeah. Okay, never mind then. But I remember being so frustrated that I couldn't like teleport just a little bit closer to the Blacksmith's Guild and the Armorer Guild when I was leveling up those crafters.
There's a shortcut.
What?
There's a shortcut from the lower deck. You don't use the Ethernet.
So really, Paul just needs to get good. Is what
you
I
just
mean.
Find Serious? The staircase and you walk up it, and it takes you right there.
The fact that I got
might have
to,
been nice to know that before he hit.
It might have been nice to know before. But
are you really an Omnicrafter?
Okay, but I think this speaks to like what's the point of that particular teleport crystal? You know what I mean?
But it's the other location,
the Aft Castle. It's the event like zone.
I think
like
Limsa Limsa just needs one more.
For Gridania.
Yeah, I think it just needs one more Aetherite crystal, and I think it'll be fine. I think if they move the current Aft Castle one up just right next to the Drowning Wench, and then like create a second one that's like a little bit further south of where it currently is in the Aft Castle, then I think it'd be perfect.
Or put a then bridge between the Marauder's Guild and the Culinarian,
or something. Yeah, because I think of the three. Limsa Limsa's city design is atrocious, because when you're there for the first time, it's freaking possible to figure out where you need to go.
Yeah, the whole upper decks, lower decks thing is... I will give you that. It's pretty horrible. And my dream, although this probably will never happen, but my dream is for them to kind of merge the two zones for each starting city into just one complete city, since, you know, PS3 is no longer a thing. PS4 will hopefully no longer be a thing, maybe in next expansion? I don't know. But, you know, the minimum requirements for the game keep getting higher, so I'm just saying, we should be able to get to a point where that's doable.
I almost want to say the devs were kind of forced to put everything close together. Because the design of Limsa, it's like these spires, right? These towers, and they're just all connected by bridges. Yeah. So there's not much, like, real estate to play stuff.
That's true. Yeah, the city's fantasy kind of lends itself to that mm-hmm. design.
Yeah, that's true. Because most of the actual space in Limsa is just bridges and, like, connecting, mm-hmm. Like, yeah. roads. There really isn't very much real estate, like you said, to work with.
Yeah.
And you run past those maybe like 3 times over the course of the MSQ.
Yeah.
You have no other reason to go there. So,
sounds about well, are you saying that crafting classes are completely unnecessary?
Yo, fisherman quests suck navigating through that. Because you have to walk everywhere.
I am very unhappy with fishing in Final Fantasy 14. Just as a whole.
I do like the zone where the Fisherman's Guild and the Rogue's Guild is, though. Like, on the lower decks. It's just very cozy. Yeah. And there's a boat there that you can take to. I think it's Aleport. I can't remember. One of the other Limsa cities.
Yeah, the other Limsa.
But during early MSQ, I remember taking that all the time. Yeah, one of those zones. And I think that just kind of helped the city feel more alive, you know? Like, oh, there's boats going in and out. Mm-hmm. Another thing I like about Limsa, although it's not my favorite for this in terms of the three cities, but I do like the music. That's very. It matches the seafaring, piratey. Mm-hmm. aesthetic of Limsa very well, and that kind of that free spirit adventurous feeling that I think they try to capture. So definitely,
like, I Am the Sea, right? The name of the song,
something like that. Yeah, and then the nighttime theme is very good, like cozy mm-hmm. version.
Pirate that, never so sleeps.
Always a fan of that. And sadly, A Realm Reborn is lacking in the nighttime themes overall. So I'm glad that for the cities they kept that going, because definitely a good touch.
Yeah, I think of the three city themes, Limsa is my favorite.
Wow.
Just because it feels the most cinematic, like the way it starts.
I disagree.
But and it kind of makes that like, oh, this is like an adventure feel. But I do not like the way it starts now. Because every time you, because Limsa is like the main city everyone goes to for the convenience of all the vendors and stuff. It's just that blah, you know. What is your favorite? Is it Uldal?
Favorite music was?
Yeah.
Gridania.
Oh, wait, that's right. You'd mentioned that, Gridania. But you like the night theme of Uldal.
Oh, I like the night themes of all of them. But, you know, if I had to rank them, at least the night themes, I think mm-hmm. I would put Uldal first, Gridania second, and then Limsa third.
Ooh.
But they're all good, yeah.
Uh-huh.
In terms of the night themes, I really like all of those night mm-hmm. themes a lot. They're very good. And they're so cozy. And there's probably some nostalgia at play, just because, like, you know, that was the beginning of the game. And mm-hmm. now when I hear it, it brings back those feelings and thoughts. But, I mean, that's kind of the purpose of that music, right?
Mm-hmm.
To help you...
I mean, if you follow Trailer Man so. And you play Marauder as your starting class.
Aside from the Limsa Limsa day theme and the Uldal night theme, you guys are going to eviscerate me for this. I actually cannot recall what the other music sounds like.
Is that bad? Aside from which ones?
Which other music?
What were you
saying? The other city theme musics. So I can't recall what Uldal Day sounds like. I can't recall what Limsa Limsa Night sounds like.
Uldal Day is just like a Limsa Day theme version of the Uldal Night theme. Just a lot of trumpets and very, you know, regalia.
Soaking would be orchestra. Ashamed of you, Paul.
Okay, but you know, the flip side of this. That then means that I think of the music, those two stand out the most. And of the two, I would put Uldal Night Theme above Limsa Day Theme. Again, Gridania is just kind of like background noise in my mind. I'm sure if I listen to it, I'll recognize it. But mm-hmm. I can't pull it up like on cue.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know? It's not like I just don't know what this music is. It's just it's not memorable enough for me to be able to just recall that immediately. I actually don't like the starting classes of Limsa Lumensa.
That's funny.
I think
just part the classes of it, themselves, or like the way it all starts.
I guess the more accurate way to put it is the classes that Limsa Lumensa provides just happen to be classes that I am not like into.
Doesn't like resonate with you.
Yeah.
Doesn't pass the vibe check.
Yeah, I guess the one exception might be the Marauder/Warrior class. I am a fan of the Oonga Boonga. And Warrior is, as of right now, my tank class of choice. It's my highest level tank.
You mean healer class of choice?
But no, like I guess. But even still, like when starting out, like when I was on the character select screen, trying to figure out what class do I want to start with. Marauder Arcanist. I was like, no, this is not really passing my personal vibe check. I'm not saying these classes are bad. I'm just saying that for me, this just didn't really tug. And so, yeah, you know, Limsa Lumensa classes.
Do we count Rogue as a starting class? Because it technically is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to pick one of those two and get them to level 10.
You have to hit level 10.
And then you can jump to Rogue.
On any other starting class first.
I will say, Rogue is one of my favorite storylines in terms of job quests.
It's a good one.
It's just a lot of fun. It's very cozy.
Just Rogue or including Ninja?
Yeah, how far does this go?
Ninja's not bad, but it's definitely like Rogue 1 through 30 is the highlight for sure. That story is just, it's very well written and it's interesting, it's fun. The characters are funny and like likable. Although the job trainer Jack is really hard to understand because he talks in like Beef's Cant or whatever it's called. Oh my gosh, I remember reading that was kind of a struggle. But once you get used to that, it's a pretty good storyline. So I definitely also like that. And I think that helped me like enjoy Limsa as a city more too. Because it's very much like the storyline is the rogues kind of maintain order in the back streets and the kind of the undercity of Limsa. And so you learn a lot about like the structure of the city and like the Yellow Jackets, and yeah, it's just a very good job storyline. Honestly, it's what all job storylines should aspire to be, in my opinion.
Would you say it's number one? Best? Oh, okay,
Dark Knight will always be number one in my opinion.
Really,
it really just feels like canon, like MSQ level at some points. But
really,
otherwise, okay. Yeah. Besides, kind of on a tier of its own for me, and then maybe second best, I might put Rogue up there.
Huh.
I actually agree with that, like the Dark Knight storyline being very MSQ like, because it fits very into the theme. But that's Heaven's Word, right? So,
yeah.
But also, sorry, one quick correction, so our careful listeners and Lord fact checkers won't, you know, start a mob. You don't have to start specifically in Limsa to get to Rogue. You don't have to start as a Marauder or an Arcanist.
Oh, that's
you
true. Can
technically start anything, and as long as you get to Limsa, but the fastest way to get to Rogue, start as a Marauder or Arcanist.
That is right. Because if you start,
you don't even have to start MSQ. Cities, yeah,
you have to unlock get air to 15. Travel, get to 15 in MSQ. Whereas if MSQ you start Limsa, you just have to level up to 10, and then you can
level up to 10 and then start. Yeah.
Well, in theory, if you could survive the trek, couldn't you just walk all the way over to Limsa?
In theory.
Would it let you?
You'd probably die on the way, though.
You're more likely to die. You're crossing
into level 30 monsters. Yeah, so I don't think it's very viable, but yeah, technically, I guess.
Technically.
What if you got carried?
You could get carried.
If somebody, you know, has a two-seater.
A multi-seater. Or two-seater mount. Yeah, that's true. Alone. So you need a powerful friend.
Going back to the starting classes, I almost started as Marauder because I was a trailer man, and typically I also go for like the super, you know, dex classes. So I was gonna play archer, and then, you know, me being like a musician, I was like, oh yeah, bard, it resonates the most with me. And then I think I just ended up playing bard because but switching to scholar after I started as a bard, the arcanist class, first 30 levels are rough, unless you're wanting to play summoner. Yeah, arcanist is not fun at all. It might mostly because it does not feel like a magic casting class, or even like a pet class. Like when you're in like the different gem modes, like your attack changes don't even change color.
I was so disappointed.
Carbuncle, which just does like one attack and then goes back to blue, and it's just like ugh.
Yeah, in terms of the classes, I really like Rogue. I think it fits Linza, the fantasy, perfectly. Arcanist definitely feels like, we need another mage healer, so let's put it here. Because, where else are we going to put it? And then Marauder,
if you decide to go the scholar route, we'll find out that the class is actually very relevant to the city. Non-spoiler.
I do like scholar a lot. I think between the two, scholar's definitely the better done, both like story-wise and lore-wise, and then even gameplay-wise.
Is scholar fun to play? In my mind, scholar just kind of slots in as a subpar white mage. But again, I know next to nothing about scholar, except we have a resident scholar main. That's about it.
A comment I read, so I can't take credit for this thought. I read this on Reddit, on the F14 subreddit. Someone described scholar as it's like you have a collection of different tools that don't match or fit together whatsoever. But that's kind of the fun of it. And when you figure out how to use each one and get the most out of it, you feel very smart and you enjoy that a lot. Mm-hmm. And it almost in a way, it fits the fantasy of being a scholar, right?
The tactician adapting to every scenario. Yeah.
Interesting.
Exactly. They also have the most fun party boost, which is, speed boost at high levels.
Mm-hmm. I love getting that. At level 90, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
No, I for me, scholar was really fun. Because it took out the DPS. I went from Bard to Scholar, and I played Scholar all the way through Stormblood. Definitely, it does get that, green DPS feel, where, your fairy is doing so much healing that all you can really do is just press, Ruin. You're just pressing the whole same, attack skill. But There were definitely moments where I was really trying to optimize fairy placement. For sure, the tools, there's sometimes where you're not sure if you're supposed to be using this or not, and things like that. Yeah.
Going back to Limsa, and specifically on the starting MSQ experience.
Yes.
As someone who went through this personally, obviously, with the rogue, as a rogue and going through, I think it has the best 1 through 15 storyline out of the three cities. So, my personal favorite.
I agree with this.
I think it's the most well-written in terms of, just being a nice self-contained story, having characters that are at least a little interesting and that you're, you kind of just want to see what happens next, and that you actually know their names going, through it. I just think it's a great, kind of microcosm of what some of the later stories will kind of be like. It's like a miniature version, and you're a warrior of goes to this farm where they're trying to grow food as former pirates, and they don't really know what they're doing, but then they're asked to, and then some stuff happens and this one guy gets in trouble, and there's some betrayal and and basically kind of redemption,
Severin.
Which is a lot of good themes. And then there's more stories later. I remember one particularly with a shipwright and his dad who hates what he's doing because he wants to be a criminal to the end, but then it's just really interesting stories that kind of pay off nicely. Mm-hmm. And I think is the most fun to go through compared to the other two,
and the lore of the city sets it up really nicely too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's this city that's trying to change from its former ways.
Mm-hmm. It's not fully put together and established. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think eventually have characters who fall on both ends, which is more interesting to see that conflict. Go ahead, Paul.
There's definitely more I love that shipwright bit. I think it's right around MSQ level 11. Maybe Ulda had something that's equivalent, and maybe Gridania had something that's equivalent, but Limsa Lamenta's shipwright is definitely very engaging. It's just very well crafted. Which I think kind of goes to show that a good story doesn't have to be unpredictable. I think you can still craft a very predictable story, and it can still be very, very fun and very enjoyable.
It just has to make
execution.
I think so. Yeah.
Then with the Limsa storyline, you also get what arguably I don't know, might be a hot take, one of the more popular scions?
You know, actually, I was going to list this as a con. Hot take. I know I'm going to get crucifixed, but I don't really like Yshtola as a scion. Especially in this, in the realm report.
I don't like her here.
As a character? Man. Or, oh, you don't like her here?
Here.
A realm report,
specifically.
For me, I have a similar take, but it's not as hot. It's like a medium take, which is I don't like Yshtola here. I'm okay with her for the rest of A Realm Reborn, but I think her being here, I think she felt out of place in light of the rest of the MSQ that's happening. She felt more like a distraction to, like, I'm trying to help these pirates. Why do I need to go talk to this cat lady right now? Like I don't really get it.
You were saying, Paul, I totally agree. I think Yshtola feels very disjointed from the Limsa narrative. You know, just kind of, like, very separate. And I also think that part of it is a consequence of the Limsa storyline being more interesting, right? Because then that's what you care about more. Whereas for the other two cities, you're like, please give me something that's interesting. So then when, you know, the Incred comes up, or even Ida and Papalimo and Gridania.
Yeah, when we get to the Gridania section, I have a lot to say about that.
Something that I do want to point out that I really enjoyed and appreciated, especially after coming off of doing the Uldah MSQs, I actually really liked when the quests just transitioned into the next one. It doesn't happen a lot, and even in Limsa Lumensa, there's only one that I was able to kind of like notice and jot down. But there's a line that Gimthada says. Before the Yellow Jackets move in, however, we've recovered a most unusual object. Should you have the time to spare, I would ask of you another favor. And I think from like a storytelling perspective, it's not a lot, but it functions well to chain into, hey, you're not just picking up the next quest, like, while I have you here. Like, you being here, me being here, this matters right now, because that's how we're going to slide into the next MSQ. And that really doesn't happen a lot, especially in the first 15 levels. It doesn't happen a lot in A Realm Reborn, and I would even say even in the later expansions, it doesn't happen as smoothly as I would wish it did.
Yeah, it's a journey. It's not a task list that you're checking off, which some of the other ones do feel more like. I could do this in any order, really wouldn't matter.
Yes, oh my gosh. Uldah, I think, is... No, I take it back. I think Gridania is the biggest offender of that one. I do have one paper cut on Limsa Lumensa, which is there's one quest that it actually kind of stumped me for about like a solid like 15-20 seconds. I think it's a level 11 MSQ called Relighting the Torch, and it's just because the key items or actions that you have to do are not highlighted in your duty helper. It says light the brazier and obtain a bomb claw from the torchlight that is drawn in by the flames. I think what they should have done, and they do in later quests, is brazier, bomb claw, and torchlight should be like highlighted as a key terms, as opposed to just everything being one static text. And I was genuinely confused that you had to like use an item. You have to use an item to like light the brazier, and then kill the bomb that shows up.
Yeah, the bomb shows up.
Yeah, and that was not intuitive in the slightest. But they should have fixed that, I think.
You know what? For once, a valid complaint from Paul.
What do you mean for once? My complaints are valid.
That was a clean paper cut.
Yes, very clean. Which hurts the most. Hey, I like this over analogy we're doing.
No, all my complaints are valid.
Moving on.
Wow.
Actually, one last thing on Limsa. I can't believe I almost forgot about this, but I think Limsa has my favorite Adventurers Guild head in Batteron. I think he is the most interesting and, in my opinion, memorable of the three. I do like all three between Mother Mion and Momodi?
Momodi.
Forgetting her name. But yeah, I think Batteron is just... he's like a very eccentric, but like very friendly uncle. Yeah. There's a line.
Like you only just met him, but he like vouches for you. And
Yeah, exactly. There's a line exactly right there, because the Yellow Jackets come and they're like, oh, like you're you're suspicious. The ship you're on got attacked. You must be like a pirate given signals. And then he immediately, I have it on this FF14 script website. He says, you've got the wrong lass. And he talks in Lumen's accent. He says, this fine, upstanding young lady is me dear departed grandma, sister's, niece's, cousin's, closest companion. It's like, that's just such a good line. But I think he's that kind of captures his, he's just immediately on your side and totally like vouching for you. And so it's cool to like see, and this applies to all three of them too, but I think Batter on the most, see them like get excited for you when you become more famous and you do more things, more renowned.
I do agree. I do think of the three, Batteron is the most likable. But I think it's not even close. I think he is, by comparison, head and shoulders above Momoti, who is head, shoulder, knees, and toes above Mother Mia. I am not a fan.
I don't understand this. So I guess we're going to Gridania, but like I like Mother Mia. I don't think she's that bad. Is it Mione?
I don't know.
She's French, right? Or all the Ellison have French names, so Mion. I'm not sure. So I just offended whoever's French and listening to this with that horrible French accent.
I don't like this whole like, I am every new like fledgling adventurer's mother. I think that just gives me such creepy vibes. And I'm just like, ugh.
Why is that creepy? She's just looking out for these crazy young adventurers.
I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way. Creepy
because I was playing. I started as a Lalafell, so when there's like tall, because she's a row, right? Female row.
No, she's
is she not?
No, she's a
Mother Mian. She's a
Ellison. She's a tall Ellison though. Yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That slider went all the way.
I don't know. Just I can't quite like put my finger on it, but I think just the way that she's like, just I am your mother. I am everyone's mother. This is like the setup for every creepy, like cultish horror movie.
Oh my god!
Oh, we're all family here.
This is a Paul problem. See, you had that one good paper cut earlier. Now we're back to your usual scheduled program. I didn't say
this is a paper cut. No. I'm just laying out on the table. Hey, here are my rankings, and you bunch them closer together. And I'm just saying, no, I kind of spread them apart. It's not a paper cut. I do have a paper cut in Gridania, but we'll get there when we get there. Honestly, for the most part, I am a fan of Gridania. I don't have too many gripes about it, at least compared to the other two cities. The Ethan Ashard, which is specifically the Leatherworkers Guild and the Shaded Bower. I think if you have to put and something, maybe it's not the best location for the Ethernet Shard. There's that. Sometimes certain quests or event quests will take you up on that northern loop in, what is it, Old Gridania? That northern half? A far run. You can't.
The fall, the waterfall area. Yep.
So that's a bit of a pain, but they are far and few. If anything, you only really feel it when there's an event going on in Gridania.
I also don't like how the Archer's Guild is just way out by itself in that little pocket, There's an Aetherite, which is nice, but yes. It's just, like, so disconnected from everything else. Which I guess makes sense practically that for shooting arrows, but still.
Yeah, I see that as a testament to how far the Gridanian archers can shoot. Like, they have to go so far out, or else, Mother Mia is going to get an arrow flying through her, canopy, Caroline canopy. So...
Here, fun fact. When I started, I didn't know about the Ethernet system.
Oh, you ran?
I did have a little bit of RNG luck in that I chose the Archer to start as an Archer because it's accessible immediately, or not immediately, but the path to the Archer's Guild is right there next to the main Aetherite Plaza. Whereas everything else, you have to go to Old Gridania. And I think for the first, like, 10 levels, I walked every time. Teleport to Gridania, I would walk to the Archer's Guild.
That is painful.
And I think just at one session where I was streaming on Discord, you guys are watching me play and you're like, why are you walking?
Like a peasant.
I'm like, is there a faster way to... I don't have a mound yet. Crystal! I was like, this is life-changing.
Sprout times.
Yep, sprout times.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I like Gridania's aesthetic the best. I know it's kind of generic fantasy forest elf city, but it's just so pretty and green. And like you mentioned earlier, Paul, I think the map is laid out the most practically, or maybe not practically, but like understandably. You know, you have north zone, south zone. Then it's all there.
There are clear connecting points. And it's just it's very hard to get lost in Gridania, and I feel like as a main hub for your players, that needs to be paramount. I think that like it should be really hard to get lost. You can explore, but you can't get
lost. I also really like how there's a lot of like variety in terms of like the different types of areas within the city. You know, you have like the open forest area next to the Aetherite Plaza. You have the like wooden cozy cabins of like some of the guilds and the Adventurers Guild.
It's the least, then you have like the
dark cave
man-made where
the conjurers are at. Yeah, you have the waterfall up, or, you know, on the northern part that we talked about. So it's just, and like the merchant area, it's like a more lively, you know, market. So I just think it's a little more diverse in its different settings versus like Limsa. It kind of feels the same wherever you go, you know, just white limestone and ocean nearby, wherever you look, or Ul'dah stone. I guess Ul'dah has a little more variety, but yeah, I do think Gridania is the best at that. So I enjoy that because then it makes the city feel more large and like more like a city. And then, yeah, it has my favorite day theme of all the cities. I think it's just, it's a little reminiscent of, you know, the Shire.
Lord of the Rings. That's my only one paper cut.
Yeah, my one paper cut.
It's just too close.
I mean, but like, if you know something works, you just have to use it. Like, nothing wrong with that. So I love that.
But I'm here to play Final Fantasy, not the Lord remember of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, touche. I don't know. It's a plus for me. But I get why it might be a bit more of a negative for that reason.
But it does fit the vibe well. And, you know, if it just so happens that a different fantasy-based story has, you know, just nailed that vibe to such a high degree, like, you know, it's not really, it's not strictly a bad thing.
It's flattery, right?
Yeah.
Oh, also, the music in the zones around the city for Gridania is definitely the best. I love the soft piano. And then the town theme for those, like, smaller towns outside of Gridania, so good. That town theme just feels classic Final Fantasy, with like the, is it a, it's one of the woodwind instruments. It's like an oboe or I forget, but
it's just clarinet.
I think it's clarinet. Yeah, like that's just such a classic like Final Fantasy town soundscape. So I'm all here for it.
I have no recollection as to what these music sound like.
Shame on you, Paul. Sunken would be ashamed of you.
I had to look at my notes.
That's gonna be my go-to line.
No, I had to look at my notes for where I wrote down, ooh, like plus side, Lord of the Rings, the Shire vibes, and go like, oh yeah, that's what the Gridania day theme sounds like. Okay. But again, could not pull it out from the ether. I do have one paper cut, and it's at the Mikedo Amphitheater. And I hate the fact that you can't jump over the fence. It's so small,
is misleading.
But it's so valid. You have to validate that one. You should be able to jump the stupid fence. Your character model's feet goes over the fence, and the game just says, no, we're going to have this wall seemingly shoot up 100 feet in the air.
You know who you can blame for this? The Lalafels. This is all their fault, because they're not able to jump over it, so they have to make all characters unable to jump over it. You know, if it's tall enough for Lala, it's tall enough for everyone.
Oh, you're saying characters? Like standing next to it, not so much the jump, because I was like, every character has the same jump height.
No. I'm just being racist to Lalafels, but I'm justified in doing so because Lalafels are evil. I will never Fantasia to Lalafel. You know, I've been on Nance, I've been a Hira, I've been a Mikote, I've been Viera. You know, I've thought about switching to Aura or Ro, but never, ever, ever will I be a Lalafel.
You know, even though I started as Lalafell as a joke, playing Scholar and, you know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge to the storyline, I think that kind of solidified me of like, I'm never going to Fantasia out of Lalafell. At one point, I did consider Fantasiaing to make myself shorter. Because I put the slider deeper, all the way to max height.
Sink deeper into the Popoto sack.
Yeah. And then I wanted to change my eye colors, but yeah. I still have that. It's still in my saddlebag.
And now you have access to two.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
With the Chantre, we got another one.
Oh, should I do it
then? I think you should do it. I think you should do it just to piss off John.
I do have one more paper cut to add on Gridania.
More paper cuts.
At the very
I'm turning this into a corner, I swear.
Because we really should, honestly. Although, we do love the game. I just want to reiterate that.
You know, jingle for it too.
We yes. say we bring up all these things we don't like because we like.
These are paper cuts of love.
Exactly. But yeah, the gripe I have is regarding the very first cutscene. Because every city, whenever you start, the character's going there on a carriage and is talking to one of the three, apparently, their siblings or something.
Traders. I'm actually, Limbs is a ship.
Yeah, Limbs is a ship.
Oh, right. Limbs is a ship.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's like, you know, a little tailored for that. But during that cutscene for Gridania, there's a part where you meet Moogles and they tell your character, oh, you can see us. Most people can't see us. You know, you're special.
Oh,
and that thing, like, that never comes up ever again. Or, like, it comes up a little bit, maybe. I think, like, when you're talking with, like, Ida and Papalimo in the 1 through 15 quest line. But after that, never comes up again. And then Moogles show up and everyone can see them. It's like, what the? So that's just, like, something they retconned that. It's a dumb piece of lore that doesn't serve any purpose. Maybe it's like a vestige from 1.0, but I just think like they would have been better off just not doing that. And you know,
It gets retconned in the same expansion because later on there's the Thorn March trial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everyone sees those Moogles, and that's not a problem.
Although I will say, you know, for their design. I like the design of these Moogles. And I know it's like, well, duh, they're like classic Final Fantasy design. But I only say that because FF7 Rebirth Moogles are horrifying and awful to look at. So I am just, I'm much more appreciative of the 14 design now. And like just staying true to that classic Moogle design. Because oh my gosh, those Rebirth Moogles were, ugh. I don't even want to think about it.
I think the more realistic Moogles get, the creepier and more uncanny they become. Exactly. Like FF7 Rebirth. Those are not Moogles. Those are demonic teddy bears.
Abominations. Yeah, like even in 16, like which is a super dark, gritty game, they have that classic Moogle design and it looks great. So
it's the face. Like they have to have that Moogle face. Anything else is not a Moogle.
James, I'll send you a picture so you can be horrified.
No, it's must we do this.
It's making me think of like classic Disney animation versus the live action.
No. You know what?
Yes, actually. It's like Netflix adaptation.
It also reminds me of the first iteration of Sonic, the live action Sonic movie.
That's what it's like.
That's what it's
except
like.
This one made it into the final product.
Yes, this one made it into the final product.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe no one said no. So no one stopped and said, should we actually do this?
That's horrible.
It is what it is.
Yeah, aside from those paper cuts. Oh my god, that is horrifying.
Right?
That's not a Moogle.
It's horrible.
That's a koala cosplaying as a Moogle.
An ugly koala.
With teeth. Oh my gosh, you just throw human teeth on anything.
Yeah.
It's not human. It's
just horrible.
Going back on track, aside from those paper cuts, Gridania is great.
It's gorgeous.
I know you guys don't agree, but I think I like Gridania because the inn and the free company, no, not the free company, the grand company, the Twin Adder and then the inn, they're available from the Aetherite Plaza. It's a small walk. It's not long.
That is the, I would guess that's the shortest average travel distance. Because first I was like, well, isn't Ulda close? But then I realized the line between the Immortal Flames and the Quicksand is actually pretty substantial.
From the Aetherite Plaza, it's pretty close. And especially if you take the little shortcut, jumping on the plant and the little rail.
Yeah. So the main etherite to the immortal flame is very close, but then the main etherite to the quicksand.
That one is like.
There's a reason why there's a separate etherite crystal for, just for the quicksand.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Fair
point. Yeah.
Yeah. But every time I want to go to an inn to work on my glam, I always go to Credania. Anywho, back on track. Lancer, Archer, Conjurer. I think they hit the nose on the theme.
I agree.
And it's super relevant. Like Lancers, it's the Woodwheelers, right? It's the local, like the local police force, I guess you can call them.
And checks out for Ellison, which majority of the city is Ellison. Yeah.
And you got your classic archers in the forest, elves, that whole vibe. And then Conjurers, right? With their storyline of the
community elemental forest.
Yeah.
I will say, not to get like completely onto the crafters and gatherers, but even like the botanist being in Gridania, such a good fit. Mm-hmm. I really like that quest line too. And I love the area where the botanist guild is, because like you have like the farm and it looks really pretty and you can see all the produce. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah,
even leatherworker and woodworker.
Yeah. I think everything fits really well.
Carpenter, not woodworker. Carpenter. Sorry for all of you.
Carpenter mains. I do think, for what it's worth, even though I think Gridania, all of the classes fit well, I also think it's the easiest of the three. Like, it's so natural. It's like, oh, go pick anything wood-like or, like, earthy and just stuff it all in one location. That being said, even though it is easy, I do think it is well kind of, like, meshed together. Kind of like what you said, John, earlier. Like, you can see the different, almost, like, architecture or, like, urban layouts throughout Gridania. And I think I think everything kind of comes together very nicely, despite not being able to jump that fence. I think all in all, even as we're talking about it, I'm kind of like re-scoring like my thoughts on the cities. And I think Gridania kind of keeps ranking higher and higher the more we talk about it and the more I think about it. Pretty well done.
The biggest gripe though for me with Gridania is definitely the MSQ. I think it's the lowest out of all three starting cities.
And the two scions, they are the most annoying.
Lalafell and Ida.
I don't know why Papalimo has that voice. It's because they have the most annoying voice, and then your stereotypical blonde character.
their Realm Reborn voices definitely don't help characterization. Oh gosh, those are pretty rough.
I'm not calling this a paper cut, although maybe it should be. I'll let the listeners decide. But there's another MSQ where there's so much freaking running. It's the level 13 called Is Often Late. There's one section of Gridania where like the map is shaped like a huge upside down U. And for one part of the quest, you need to run down one whole leg of this U. And then for the second part of the quest, you have to run down, you have to run back up that U and run down the other side. And the whole time, I was like, I was so upset while I was playing that quest. I was like, why did it have to be this way? There's so much forest to go around. Why do we have to pick this upside down U and walk it twice effectively? Because you got to run it down and then run it back up to turn in your quest. And that was really frustrating.
There's that one part of Gridania that like almost has a second floor. Not a fan of that design.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like you go up where a big tree trunk.
It's like the huge tree trunk that acts as like a bridge that
goes up to the second area. Yeah.
Cause there's like there's some quests where you have to find stuff that's either on the bottom, like quote unquote floor in the caves, or up there. And like looking up like the map,
directly above it.
Yeah, you don't know like where to go. It's not very fine design.
And then I think this early on, like most new players won't be as savvy in reading the map, because if you do go too high up, elevation wise, you'll get that arrow down saying, "Hey, like you're too high up, you need to go down." But you know, there's no prompting for it. There's no nothing. You just kind of pick that up as you play. And in the first 15 levels, that's not immediately intuitive.
Yeah, that's a great.
I got lost there.
Even now with the FF14 map system, it just cannot show elevation or floor as well at all. It's really bad at that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Funny part about that section is that in that lower part, it's a cave that has like a ton of mobs in there.
Yeah.
And I actually like tried going to the back looking for the quest item or the wherever the destination was. I remember I think I died a couple times in there.
Yeah.
I got really frustrated and I was like, where am I supposed to go? And then I saw somebody walk up the tree trunk and I was like, what? You could walk up that?
Okay, speaking of Papalimo and Ida, I feel like now that we've sort of finally gotten to this point, do we have any particular, I guess, favoritisms regarding Papalimo and Ida, Thancred down in Uldah, and Ishtola? I know we talked a little bit about Ishtola over in Limsa Limensa, but I feel like we can kind of touch on them a little bit here. I think, despite Ida being rather annoying, I think the dynamic of the two of them was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
It's not amazing, but it was pretty funny seeing them interact.
Yeah, I actually had the same thought of, like, it's cool having two of them, for one, and letting them play off each other. Even if it's, like you said, it's not new or amazing. It's very stereotypical, like, sassy, silly, dumb girl, and then smart, like, scolding guy. But I do like that, like, it lets you have a conversation. Whereas when it's, like, just Thancred and you, or Ishtola and you, it's them talking and then your character nodding. You know, so it's a nice change.
Thancred even makes, like, a little, like, fourth wall breaking comment. Like, he says something and goes, oh, and you're just going to nod now, aren't you? And your character just goes, yep.
I did really like that. I think it's like
there's a video of someone who compiled every nod before your
light. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I do think, though, to get more back on the cons with them, though, they're very much what you see is what you get. Like, there's not as much intrigue
as there's no depth Ishtola and
Thancred have a bit more of a. Yeah. You're kind of like. Because with both Ishtola and Thancred, you feel like, oh, they're kind of hiding something, or like there's more to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But with Ida and Papalimo, it's very much like, oh, they are who they are. There's not much of a desire or even a hinting at, like, there being more. So overall, I think it's kind of a meh for me, especially compared to Thancred. I think Thancred is my favorite out of the starting zones in terms of the accompanying Scion. But I don't really feel too strongly about any of them, to be honest.
That's fair.
At this point in the story.
Yeah. No, I think, similarly, for me, like, I kind of think Papalimo and Ida just kind of edge out in my head over Thancred, mostly because you get just more interactions than just a silent protagonist and someone talking at the silent protagonist. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do think at the end of the day, the Scions don't look very great at this point, where later on, when you do get invited to, like, hey, go help us with this or that, I'm just like, who are you?
Pray people? Return to the Waking Sands.
Yeah, and then there's that. But any last stray thoughts on Gridania, Limsa? If not, then that's good too. Again, still unsure if we'll keep this little corner, but we'll go until the steam runs out here regarding patch updates, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, same rules as before. If you could roll out a single patch's worth of changes, what would it be? Obviously, you can't break the game. It's just, you know, quality of life, small little paper cuts, perhaps. For Gridania and or Limsa, we can do one or two, but just to kind of, you know, land on a more, like, concrete note here than just, you know, idea vomit all over the place.
My one patch, it's for Limsa, and it's not, it becomes irrelevant once you unlock the Ethernet system.
Mm-hmm.
But those little adjoining tower areas between all the bridges, I don't like how they're multi-leveled. Like, when you enter one of those towers, you have to, like, go down, like, this weird, you know, like, column staircase to get to the next portion.
Yeah.
And, like, just make it flat. Just make it flat and then just change the elevation, like, the angle of the bridges that go to each tower. But I don't know why they had to make it, like, an actual tower.
This is purely on adding Aetherite crystals, but for old Gridania, just, I hate walking up to the Apkalu Falls area. I hate having to go up there anytime there's, like, a quest or something, or, like, those really rare moments, like, go to the achievements vendor. I just want to add one Aetherite crystal next to the falls.
What is an achievements vendor? What?
You don't know?
No, what?
You don't know?
Oh,
Paul. What the heck?
Oh, no.
Wait, you can do something with those achievements? Much,
there is so much.
Oh, goodies, my gosh.
So many goodies you can get from that vendor. A bunch of glams
and mounts you can buy with tokens.
There's mounts, minions, glam. Yeah.
What the heck?
It's a lot of old stuff now, but like that's how you get the behemoth mount, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Magitek claw mount.
Yep.
Oh my gosh!
The chocobo helmet, goblin hat.
I thought you were getting them as like part of an achievement. Like, oh, finish this achievement. Here is this reward for this achievement. Oh my gosh!
Some of those do have that, but then
each
achievement gives you like achievement coin or something like that.
Uh huh.
To be fair, they haven't updated it in a long time, so it's mostly just around the point stuff.
You'll just max it out doing all the achievements.
Yeah, and so once you do,
but then with every other achievement,
Yeah, there's no real reason.
I wonder how many achievement currency I have.
Probably like hundreds. You can probably buy out the whole shop and have left over. Oh, one other patch update for Gridania specifically. Like, can we just lower the intensity of the lightning? I do not need to be flashbanged every time I'm doing stuff in Gridania.
That's fair. Okay, so John, you want that extra Ethernet crystal up in Apcola Falls?
Yes, sir. That's all I ask. Very simple. Just put it there.
Okay. You know what? My request is also very simple. I want one major thing and one small thing, but I feel like they can both fit into one patch. The one major thing is I want to jump the fence. I don't see why not. I just don't understand why. That should be
turn off the collision detection there.
That's like forever back burner item, you know? It's large enough to be a ticket request, but it's small enough for the team to just ignore for perpetuity, for forever.
See, that's one way to think about it. The other way to think about it is it's low-hanging fruit. It's so easy and would make one person really happy.
Spaghetti. Why they just give it to the intern and he breaks the whole game?
No.
Emergency maintenance.
The other small thing I have is... it's kind of going back to like just how much you need to run around for the Gridania MSQs. I would like just a little bit less. I have to explore a lot of areas of Gridania anyways. I just feel like the location of some of these items or where an NPC is or where a little fight may happen doesn't have to be in the literal fringes of the forest.
I was going to say, doesn't that kind of fit the theme that it's like untouched natural land?
Yeah, very.
And people are just kind of finding these natural pockets to settle. Whereas Ul'dah is just a city. Everything's contained within the settlements. Yeah.
Maybe. I do see your point. There was a fantasy element to it. But again, I was just so upset seeing that to run up and down that U.
Yeah, I think it helps that it doesn't help that the story for those MSQ levels isn't good either. So then you're like,
yeah,
not even looking forward to getting to where you're going, but you have to do it. So you're like running. Yeah.
I would be okay with that much running if the story was at least as good as the Limsa Lominsa, like Shipwright. Because Shipwright is all pretty contained. And there's not much running around. But I would happily run around all around Gridania if the story was at least of that caliber, for sure.
Would you say you would have noticed that if you started in Gridania?
So... way back when, I actually also had
a free trial account.
So I was in Gridania, and I was like, this place is way too big. Like, I'm getting lost here with the map. And I'm like, this is way too massive.
Dang, I was just having a good time. Like, I'm playing an MMO. This is great.
That's our show. If you like this episode, consider subscribing to our podcast. If you really like this episode, let us know with a review as well. Thanks for listening to the Secret Chocobo Club, and we'll see you next time.